Who are you all?
My name is Rama.
Rama?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Nice meeting you.
Rama from?
Ramascreen.com.
Oh, wow. I'm Jana.
Jana?
Jana, Gazeta Brazilian News.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Rada, Rama, Jana.
Rocio, Entertainment Affair.
Uh-huh. Cristio.
Rocio.
Rocio, uh-huh.
Michael from ZipRecruiter.com.
Uh-huh.
Well, in English is Angela, but it's Angela. From
cool.
SefihaOnline.com.
Cool.
Landon from ScreenPix.com.
Uh-huh.
And Debbie from 146 different places.
Got some of the outlets.
Omniscient. Omnipresent. Uh-huh.
So this is quite... The last thing I had the chance to really see you dive into was mm-hmm. Red Widow.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah. Damn, they shouldn't...
Oh, I love
that.
Meeting these people.
Melissa wrote such a
yes.
strong character.
Yeah.
And you were so good.
Oh, thank you.
I was very disheartened by ABC by canceling it.
I think it had the viewership, but not... I mean, you've got to have a lot of people watching to keep a show on
yep.
the network. I didn't realize. I think we had 7 million an episode, but you needed more for some reason. I don't know how many you need, but we needed more.
It was so well done.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah. Great team, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
really cool actors. Like, I didn't... hadn't done television before, and in terms of like being stuck with the same people potentially for 10 years, I was like, these are my brothers and sisters, they're great people. But yeah, honestly, I'm still more drawn to cinema,
mm-hmm.
Just because you have a little bit more time to process what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Television kind of moves really fast, so even the storytelling's a bit more broad.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great experience and so great. I've just been lucky to work with all these amazing women like throughout the process of my career. Just I didn't even consider it when I started. Like the first three directors I worked with were women. And statistically, that's a complete anomaly. But I was just young. I didn't understand that meant that. And in reflection, I'm like, oh, how lucky. And even working on Red Widow, working with Melissa Rosenberg, who's got a number of shows going, and is very kind of conscious of what she's doing and the messages that she's putting out there and the kinds of characters that she's creating. So honestly, on a subtle level, that is transforming the way we see the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great.
And then you jump into a film like this,
yeah,
which it's a substantial film, it's
uh-huh.
a theological film, a philosophical film.
Uh-huh.
What were you familiar with Paul Young's book, The Shack, before
no.
you got the script for this?
He just gave me a copy today. No, but I did have an intention that I wanted to be involved in projects that had some kind of healing message.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd made a movie. I'd always wanted to make a movie in India. And at some point I read online that I was going to be making this movie in India with this Australian team. So I send this to my Australian agent saying, What is this? Sounds interesting, but I didn't know I had anything to do with it. And she's like, oh, it's actually a real project. So it was a project with Joel Edgerton and Claire McCarthy, another Australian woman director. And it ended up happening. So we made a movie in Calcutta, and it was about adoption, but it was actually about surrender, I guess. Things don't quite work out the way this character expects them to, but she kind of comes to this peace in India. And after working on that movie, I was like, oh, yeah, this is the kind of thing I want to do. So when this came my way, I was like, oh, great, this is the kind of thing I want to do. Just touched me, and I felt like it had an emotional resonance that went beyond the reading of the script. I was thinking about it a couple of days later. And it's the kind of thing that you'll think about a couple of months later. And if you return to it, you'll see it again in a different light. Because you change in the way you see the thing changes. So I wasn't really that familiar with the book when we started shooting. I knew that it was successful. That was like the cherry on top. Oh, and by the way, they sold 30 million copies of the book, in case you're wondering if there's a viewership for this. Because my manager was a little concerned at the time. He was like, oh, this is very religious. I don't know how.
Did it uh-huh. when you read this and you saw in the script
mm-hmm.
you know the diversity
mm-hmm.
and how Paul within the book, which translated into the script, stepped outside the typical Christian tropes for how God appears. So here we have mm-hmm. we have God as a slightly overweight black African American woman.
I hope you didn't say that to Octavia.
No. But that's how he describes her in the book.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. That's exactly how he describes her in the book.
Uh-huh.
So
right. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
That's how he refers to Octavia.
That's the woman you want to get a cuddle from, right?
That's exactly it.
That's the one whose arms you want to lie in.
Yeah. That's it.
So, but that's how he described Papa in the book.
Right.
And then on the flip side, you know, the Graham Greene, the male side of Papa, is the same description. Did that strike you? Because so many people, you know, the hardcore Christian base, maybe, oh, this isn't what the Bible says.
Yeah.
This isn't how we interpret this.
Uh-huh. Someone was saying that in the other room as well, like, this is not traditionally biblical. But I feel like for those who are familiar with the Bible or who grew up in, you know, as Baptists or this or that or whatever, there's so many different branches of Christianity, that I think the book kind of maintains integrity in that sense, because some people might be concerned that it's a little diluted with, you know, New Age concepts or ideas of spirituality that deviate from the Bible. And I think it's actually very close to my understanding of, and taught me a lot actually about, say, the Trinity, made it kind of real. And I'm not particularly Christian in any way, but I think it speaks more to the people who are looking for a more traditional perspective than it does isolate people who don't see that in the story, if that makes sense. And those, that marginal group, I mean, they're going to struggle with lots of things, so let them go.
Well said.
Yeah.
And how's working with Sam?
Working with Sam is fun. He's Australian. Australian.
Is it hard for you to overcome your accent?
I always act with an American accent. In fact, I just recently worked on a project in Australia with an Australian accent. That was more challenging.
Yeah, because you're used to it when you're on set.
I don't know how to do it. Because it was a kind of characterization, this character. And having spent more time acting here, you have your tricks, you know. And those tricks are also kind of how you want to speak. And not having acted as an Australian, I don't have any tricks. I don't know. Seems so silly. But that's more challenging for me than faking American.
Really? Yeah. You have to rework your tongue.
Even Australians, there's so many different dialects, cadences, and it means different things socially. You know, I was just sort of lost my familiarity with some of the nuances there. So it was interesting to kind of quickly figure that out on camera.
Now, as much as going down the path of the movie you did in India and now The Shack, you're also going to be stepping back into the world of Olympus where Angel has fallen.
Well, we all got events. We all got events. And I don't think you can only have one message. But what I like about this movie is we have an alternate message, because I think the sentiment of Olympus has fallen, it's kind of how we all kind of... It's a space that culturally we're all kind of familiar with. Revenge, revenge, revenge. We kind of get there. And that's great. There's a place for that.
But it's also survival.
It's all that masculine kind of energy. And I think this movie has a very feminine message. You know, it's about acceptance. It's about letting go. It's about holding space for those you love. That's really essentially what matters. That other energy is meant to support this, if that makes sense. Like, that without this is just a big mess.
You get both sides of the coin.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, but I think we need to see both sides of the coin. So movies like this need to get made, need to get seen. And, of course, at times you need to just go and eat some popcorn and, like, you know, cheer or whatever it is to blow off steam. But cinema is also a space for, you know, it can be a space for spirituality. It can be a space for art. you know, a space to kind of evolve your own sense and to think and to leave the cinema and have something to talk about. I like those kinds of movies personally.
Yeah, I like those too. I like the crazies and the darkness. So
as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I sound like a hypocrite. No, but I'm embracing everything here.
Are you coming back to that world anytime soon as well?
I don't know. I mean, there's always an invitation. There's something currently that I'm talking about or considering. So long as there's an artistry or an innovation, I think the thing about cult movies like that is that there's this creative space in terms of experimentation, like more specifically... Silent Hill, I think, was just cinematically a very beautiful movie, very ugly and but stylistically very cutting edge. So it was interesting to work with Christoph Gans, who was a film buff before he directed. He was like a total film aficionado. So all of his references are quite classical, you know, referencing movies like Ulysses is like a 1930s surrealist film. Orpheus, sorry, is the name of it. So... he's an interesting guy, and even the director of The Darkness, I guess he was a friend of mine. He's the guy that directed me and Sam in the crocodile movie. where I almost lost a leg. But I came out of it with a doll, life-size doll, that they'd used to like throw around and be measured according to, and I got to keep it. It's my own voodoo doll. Is shed somewhere. So these are the things that you live for, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to be careful. It's all in print. It's all in print. You can't just say these things.
You say them and then you say, don't print that.
No. Well, they'll never put the, you know, the, you can't put the innuendo in there. It was just print. But you'll do that, right?
Right. Maybe so.
Coming back to the shack, I'm not a parent, obviously. How do you tap into that? Because you know, losing a kid is every parent's nightmare, or the night every you know worst fear. How do you tap into that emotion?
Losing a child.
Losing a child.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, losing a child. You're losing a kid. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah. Total nightmare.
Mm.
And I've for some reason rehearsed this nightmare in playing different roles. So it's interesting in this story because it's coming at it from a different perspective. Like, say something like a movie like Man on Fire is about revenge and payback. And this movie is about forgiveness and letting go of an experience and moving through it, which I think is a more responsible message and actually requires a lot more courage and emotional fortitude. And taught me something as an actress. I think even playing Nan, she's there, she's not throughout the whole film, but where she is, she's like this perfect wife. And my initial reading of it was like, oh, this is a bit of a cliche. Like, who's that? Where's her anger? Like, where's her actual experience of loss? I mean, here she is just holding this space for this guy. And then I realized, oh, no, that's the whole point, obviously. That's the whole point of this character, is that she's got a deeper connection. She's in the beginning of the movie where he is at the end. She's already got this relationship and this sense of trust and this sense that things, however complicated and unfair they appear, that there's a sense that there's a justice there underneath, that there's a purpose to things, that there's a goodness behind everything. And having that sense gives her all this strength and allows her to not lose it while he's stuck there. Because in a relationship, of course, it's not just you and your own perspective, it's the shared. And while he's like, she's got to stay and keep it together for the kids. So obviously she had just this decision to keep it together for the kids because she's a mother, like in Red Widow. but she's also a woman of faith, so she's got actually something underneath her that's holding her. So that was what I learnt from the character.
Thank you.
2 more minutes.
Now, have you had a chance to see the final film yet?
Yes.
And yes, wouldn't be here if I hadn't.
Okay, good. You never know. Yeah. I used to study literature and never read the books in class.
And talk about them.
I would talk about them without having to read them. Anyway,
so I'm curious because you have a very good cinematic eye for the films that you appreciate, the films that you see, and working. So, what is your takeaway after seeing the whole film? From a visual perspective, a lot of the touchstones that the faithful recognize, walking on water, Jesus as carpenter, and the beauty of that garden and that cabin that you didn't get to be in.
It was all CGI, don't worry.
Cabin's nice, though.
Yeah, Octavia wanted to keep all of the, the homeware. I don't know if she told that to you. I think there's a twinkle in the eye of the storyteller. Like, we all know the story of Jesus walking on water, so we're going to have it in the movie, and Sam's going to walk on water, and that's kind of fun, right? As much as it is, you know, a kind of Tony Robbins type message that you can do it. It's your mind, it's your perception. You can walk on hot coals. No, I think certainly, you know, aside from the religious context, we're talking about shifting your own perspective. The beginning of the movie, Sam, he's had the same experience as he had by the end. It's not like anything's changed in his life except his own perception of things. And that's where it's all at. It's all in your mind, how you perceive your experiences.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right.
Rhoda, are you going to follow with you?
I'll follow next time.
We live for the... What is it? We live for the voodoo doll. Oh, yes. Oh, can we get a photo? Can we have a photo with all these guys?
Oh, yes. Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I get a picture with
you? Oh, it's all good. It's a good photo.
We all got your photo face on.
The lighting behind him.
It's the movies.
This is fantastic. Okay. Never had this before.